Happy New Year. How many of y'all glad to still be here? Half of you. Man, I'm telling you. We're going to talk about what in the world does it mean to close it out and keep it going on? What does it mean to close out? What does it mean to go on? And I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and following. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and following. And I wish you a great and wonderful new year. And I hope you've had a wonderful year this year. And either way, guess what? You've had a year. How many of y'all have had a year? Everybody's had a year. Had a year. Now let's watch everyone tell you how much we got in common. How many of y'all had some good stuff going on this year? Yeah. Well, that's a leak. How many of y'all had some stuff that just stunk that went on this year? Okay, that got to happen. I mean, it's life. And so in life, guess what? We have some things that really encourage us. We have some things that bum us out. But guess what? We have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that's in us, and it brings us through no matter what's going on. This is why I love following Jesus. No matter what's going on, Jesus is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, as he will be what? In the morning. He is the same God. He is the same testimony. He's the same witness. So, Hillview, I want to thank you all for hanging out here. I thank many of you for making this your home church. This is the place that you live out your faith. I want to go over some basic things. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I say hallelujah, continue on to eternity. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you a stark reality. You just finished another year. You are 1 year closer to hell now than you were. You say, oh, preacher, that bites. Yeah. But you need to know the truth. And we got to turn up loving God, loving people, and telling the truth. 2:14, we're going to do this. This year you did a good job. We got to tell it. People got to hear about Jesus. You got to tell them. They don't naturally get it. You know what I mean? Some of you all are in sales. How many of y'all just walking around hoping people will understand your product by your mere presence? Don't work, man. Boomer, people don't know you do concrete unless you do what? I bet you got a car, don't you? I know because I got one. Yeah, there it is. And it tells them what you do, and it tells them what you're engaged in. It tells them what you offer. But guess what? We got to be the people that tell the world what Jesus Christ has to offer. And so guess what? Instead of, you know, just going into a new year, I'm going to ask you to pour it out. Now, some of y'all got some new adventures. How many of y'all got some new adventures? We got people on new adventures, man. New adventures. New adventures. And I'm going to encourage you to do something. How many of y'all make resolutions, New Year's resolutions? How many of y'all do that? It doesn't work. How many of y'all have ever kept a New Year? Raise your hand if you've kept a New Year's resolution. Two people. Praise God for you. Thank you. How many of you rest of you have not kept your New Year's resolution? How about this? Anybody marry your New Year's resolution? They're now your wife or your husband? You married them? You didn't do that, did you, Michael? Okay, good. Yeah, guess what? It's not what we resolute. You see, we get into making resolutions. We get into making statements. So guess what? I'm going to twist it on us a little bit as we come into this new year. What needs to be renewed in you that God has already given you? What needs to be renewed in you that God has already given you? I think we need to hit the refresh button. How many of y'all every once in a while got to refresh? That's what I love about the first of the year. Refresh. New year, I'm still married. I hope. Isn't that right, honey? I plan on being married in 2:14. I hope Elizabeth plans the same thing. I plan on having my kids in 2:14. I plan on being with you all in 2:14. You know, we got all these plans. So guess what? We need to renew who we are in Christ. Does that make sense? Renew who we are in Christ. So today, I want you to think about what needs to be renewed in me. What needs to be redone in me? What needs to be rejuvenated in me? Make sense? Let me tell you some things we're going to do at Hillview Heights Church. In the new year, we're going to continue to tell people they need to be connected to Jesus Christ. That's the number one driving message in this church. We're not leaving that message. If you don't like that message, leave. That's what we're talking about. People got to be connected to Jesus Christ. Okay? Now listen, I'm getting old now, so I'm getting honoring. I've already been through every trend that you can go through in a church. And I'm done with trends. I don't like trends. I didn't like them when they were coming through the first time. So I'm definitely not going to like them when they come through the second time. Now they're not even a new trend. They're an old trend. It's not about trendiness. It's about truth. Does that make sense? It's not about trendiness. It's about what? Truth. Trends come and go. That makes sense? I look at these new outfits today. Everybody goes, man, that's a new outfit. That's 80s. I notice all the little sparkly sweaters are coming back. You know when we wore those? 1981. Sparkly little metallic in your sweater. And guess what happened to them? We threw them away in the 90s and got real cotton. Yeah. In the 70s, we had polyester. I hope that never comes back. Amen. Do y'all think a leisure suit will ever come back? Can you imagine? I guarantee you it will. And I guarantee you we'll have y'all come in. You'll put among them, and I'm cool as I can be. And you'll have a lime green. You look like a fool. I had a lime green leisure suit with a chocolate shirt with a collar that went out this wide with stack high heel shoes. And I wore them right there to the First Baptist Church. I was the coolest guy that ever walked into the place. Had my collar opened up. I was 13. You couldn't find a hair anywhere on my chest, but I had it opened up. Back then, you wanted a hairy chest, and now they're selling one of them no-nos to shave it off of you. See what I'm saying? Everything changes. It's a trend. Makes sense? Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus Christ is not a trend. Say that with me. Not a trend. Good, good. Like, how many of y'all had one of them other than Mark Hale, because he's a retro? He's not a trend. He goes back and gets old trends and makes them antiques. How many of y'all had one of them? Remember those silver Christmas trees? You know, they look like aluminum foil. How many of y'all put one of them up this year? No. But back in the 70s, is it the same time you had lava lamps? People put up full Christmas trees. And everybody walked in and went, oh, that's beautiful. Nick, I bet you had a full Christmas tree. You had two of them. You had a waterbed too, didn't you? You had a lava lamp too, didn't you? And you used to have long hair, didn't you? Till it fell out. That's exactly right. See what I'm saying? That was a trend, but that's not a truth. Trend, not a what? Jesus is the truth. Now here's the truth. Jesus Christ saves people. He forgives them of their sin, and he makes them new human beings. How many of y'all still believe that? I'm going to tell you here's what I'd do. If I was you, here's what I'd do. If I had yet to be forgiven, I would go ahead today and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and go into the new year saved. I think that'd be a good idea. How many of y'all think that might be a good idea? So Hillview, here's what we're still going to do. We're going to be about telling people about Jesus Christ that their sins can be forgiven and a new life can enter into them. Does that make sense? And a new life can enter into them. We're still about connecting people to Jesus. We're still going to be allowed. Doc, this is right up your alley. We got a big H. Some of in the parking lot, y'all see this C3HD. It's the driving vision that God's given our church. The big H. We want to be healthy and healing. Healing and healthy. Healing and healthy. Hey, I want to commend some of you in this new year. Y'all got serious about your health. How many of y'all find if you don't eat all the wrong things all the time, you feel better on Monday? How many of y'all, you've engaged yourself, you've exercised, you've moved. Listen, it's the total package that God would heal us physically, spiritually, emotionally. Jesus Christ puts us in balance. So we're going to continue to help people get healthy. Makes sense? And the last thing is this, we're going to be better next year than we were this year. How many of y'all can just set that? God, I want you to renew me in such a way that I will be better next year than I am this year. How many of y'all can do that? You ought to pray that every year. He said, what about when I get real old? You ought to be good. Now, I know I'm probably not supposed to use this kind of illustration inside a Baptist church, but we need to be a little more like bourbon. Elizabeth tells me about it. And, watch this. What do you do with bourbon? You leave it in the what? Well, y'all are Kentuckians. You know what you do with it, all right? Some of y'all lived in Bourbon County, okay? You leave it in the barrel, the longer it stays there, what? That's the way we ought to be. The longer we stay with Jesus, the smoother we ought to be, the better tasting we ought to be, and guess what? The more potent we ought to be. Some of y'all ought to be 100-proof grace. People get around you, whoa, I can smell the grace. Whoa, I can feel the mercy. Ah, I can sense the excitement of God doing something in your life. The longer we go, the better we become if you're following Jesus. That make sense to him? It's maturing. Now, I want to give you three places. I'm going to hit the scripture, and we're going to get out of here, okay? I'm going to give you a New Year's gift. I'm not going to be as long as usual, I hope. First of all, I want to give you three types of people you're going to run into and the three types of people that are in this room. Observers. All year long, you're going to meet observers. I'm going to encourage you to not be an observer only. There's a lot of people that just observe things. They observe the world. They can tell you everything that's wrong. They can tell you everything that's wrong with a system. Here's the thing about observers. They never do anything. They just talk about what everybody else ought to do. How many of you all work with some observers? Anybody, raise your hand if you work with some observers. You've met these people. Come on, y'all got to work with me today, okay? Y'all can go back staring at me the first year. All right? I mean, today I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Don't just observe what's wrong. Don't just make statements of what you see. There comes a time that we need to be people that says, you know what? Jesus Christ has changed my life, and I would like to engage and change the situation. Here's what I'm saying. Reading a diet book will not cause you to lose weight. See, it's observers is what we think. Watch this. Just holding a title doesn't mean you can exercise that leadership position. See what I'm saying? Don't just be an observer. If you're in sales and all you do is observe the possibility of selling stuff, you'll go broke. It's more than just observing. Here's what observers are like. And I see this trend coming on. It's a new what? Trend. All the young pastors that I deal with, they like to observe theology. They like to observe the dynamics of the church, but none of them do anything. They just observe stuff. And we really live in a nation where we think if we say it, it is. Have you noticed that? What's this? You know one of the best ways to solve poverty? Get a job. Now, I know some of you all think I'm cruel. Start with McDonald's and own it one day. That used to be the American dream. But see, we're observers. We're a nation full of observers. Lord have mercy. We would never have had an America if the original people that came to America acted like us. The Mayflower would have just sailed up and down the East Coast talking about the possibility of settlement. Eventually, you got to land the boat. Eventually, you got to step off the plank. Eventually, you got to step on the new soil. Eventually, you got to cut the trees that are in front of you. You got to fight the battles that are ahead of you. And you got to accomplish. Which leads me to the second kind of people. Don't be observers only. And man, the church is full of observers. Y'all notice that? Here's who observers are. They're always worried about this cup I've been hearing about for over 30 years of ministry. There's a cup. I don't know what kind of cup it is. I don't know if it's a McDonald's tippy cup. I don't know what it is, but it's a cup. And it's only at church. Only at church is there this cup. And these people at church are, well, I'm leaving Hillview because my cup ain't filled. Let me tell you about your cup. To the hell with your cup. Let me tell you what grace really says. Grace says, I have a hellish cup. And not only does it need to be filled, it needs to be crucified so God's life can be risen in me. Now, some of you church folks are mad that I don't care what you think. I don't. Let's go ahead and get the whole enchilada out. Or what you feel. Or what you decide. We have run this world by our feelings, by our thoughts, and by what we want to do, and we are going to hell quickly. Fact or not? What do you think? How many of y'all noticed that things could go really crazy real quick? Why? Because here's what everybody, well, I feel, I think, I want. That's our theme song in America. Well, I feel, I'm offended. You know what I say to that? So? Don't worry about it. And if all y'all being politically correct, let me tell you what that is. That's just a friendly liar. That's all that is. How can I say stuff that's true where it doesn't have a bite to it? Truth has a bite. It has a bite.
That's like trying to make a sweet and sour, not sour.
Some things are sour. Have you noticed that? And some things are what? They're real. So guess what? It's more than being an observer. It's being an engager. You're going to meet those people. How many of y'all got people that engage, man? They get it done. They do what they say they're going to do. Don't those people blow you away? Watch this. The world has been shaken for the last 2 weeks by a duck hunter. It has cracked me up. I mean, it has absolutely cracked me up. A duck hunter. He stated what he believed. Whether you agree with him or not, he stated what he believed. This is a free country. You can state what you believe. And guess what? He had a little group of people. I'm offended. Well, I'm offended by them all the time. Let me tell you the difference between me and them. I don't run around. My life does not exist so that I might spend all of my life telling everybody what offends me. If that's your life stinks. I'm going to live. It's not about what offends me. It's about who I follow. And who I follow takes me beyond where I am at the moment into where I can be. How many of y'all got a Jesus like that? He engages. He engages. How many of y'all glad we got a Jesus that engaged it? Pretty cool, isn't it? So I want y'all to be careful. Here's all I want you to do. Heads up. It's okay for you to tell people what Jesus says. Amen? Now, let me help you. When you do, there's going to be a lot of people that get ticked off. Everybody clear about that? I just want you to know from a guy that has ticked people off for almost a half a century. My mama was ticked off the moment I took my first breath. He's here. You can still live a full and abundant life. Our job is to not please each other. It is to please God, and when we please God, we finally learn how to love each other. And that's a lot better than pleasing each other. You know, John, you and Christine have been married longer than most people can imagine, especially today, amen? I had a guy that day, he said, Harris, you talk a lot about being married 50 years, and he goes, I've been married for 50 years. I just did it in 10-year increments. Five. He had five wives. Now, why would anybody want to? There's a man with no sense. One wife will kill you. I tell Elizabeth all the time, I never had gray hair till I got married. Never had health problems till I got married. That's what a wife will do. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. Engage. How many of y'all need to engage more in 2014? You need to engage your faith. Live it. Listen, I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm talking about just standing for what you believe. Tell people, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me my sins. I live and I love and I live the life I live because Jesus Christ has saved me. It's that simple. It's that simple. If you're offended by that, who's got the problem? I can't change Jesus just because it bothers you. And I just want you to know, we're not going to be a church that changes to every wind and trend. We're not going to go, oh, well, Pastor Steve's not going to say that because it bothers you. If you've grown up here at Hillview, you should be bothered when you come to church. I go work out. One time I went to a spinning class. You know, where you ride the bicycle and some chick up there in some kind of aqua suits running 100 miles an hour on a bicycle. She's going, run up the hill, pedal, pedal, pedal. She offended me for 45 minutes. Let me tell you what I want to do. I just want to sit on my little bike and just have a little stroll. She wanted to go up hills, and I said, down the hill, coast. Got in trouble. But guess what? She was trying to make us all what? Trying to make us fit. Debbie, she's trying to get rid of my accessory. I'm keeping this in case the world runs out of food. I can live on it for a few days. See what I'm saying? It's a survival kit. That's what I call it. No, yeah, she's trying to make us healthy, trying to make us fit. She was willing to offend us to get us better. Guess what? So is Jesus. Jesus will offend us to get us better. How many of y'all have parents? You know, I love my parents. The older I get, the more I love my parents. The older I get. Now, it took me a long time to get there. I didn't love them in the moment. But now I realize they were smart. Do you know my father never cared what I thought?
My father was an amazing man. When I was 16, guess what my father realized? He realized I didn't have a brain in my head. Guess what I thought? I thought I was brilliant. How many of y'all were brilliant at 16? I remember, Sarah, if I went down there to that courthouse, or it wasn't a courthouse, it was wherever it was, got me a driver's license, son. Sarah, if I have to confess this, is there a statute of limitations that runs out on vehicle misconduct? First day I got my driver's license, I made 100 on my driver's license. I was drag racing that night. Because I was what? I mean, I had my picture on it. Like, Commonwealth of Kentucky. I thought I was brilliant, Tim. I was dumb as a rock. Guess what my father knew? I'm raising a child dumb as a rock. I got to guide him. I got to put truth in his life. I got to engage with him. I got to tell him no. And I got to tell him yes. And I got to help him get better. Amen? That's the same thing God does with us, man. He's got to tell us no. He's got to tell us yes. He's got to tell us good. He's got to tell us that a girl, that a boy. Okay, engage. You got to engage your faith. We're going to talk about show it. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about what does it mean to show our faith? What does it mean to reveal? What does it mean to become? We're going to hear all these things in the next 24 months. Third thing is this. Third type of person you'll meet is this. An encourager. So you got three types of people. You got people that observe all the time. They don't do much. They just observe, telling you what everybody else is doing. You'll find these people blogging most of the time. The reason they blog all the time is they don't have a life. So they got to talk about everybody that's living a life. If that's you, don't sit there and be sad. Renew yourself today and say, you know what? In 2014, I'm going to start engaging in life. I'm going to live a life so somebody would blog about me. I'm going to live an extraordinary, I'm not just going to observe what's going on. I'm going to become a part of what God is doing. That's a whole different way to live. Got to engage it. If you're married, love the person you're with. Guess what? You got to spend some time with them. And don't run this baby boomer thing that didn't work. Well, we don't see each other much, but the times we do are quality. Baloney. There's only one way to learn how to get married. Stay there and fight till you learn to love each other. Stay engaged in it. Be willing to stay with it. And guess what happens eventually down the road? Love moves up. By the way, this is very helpful. Let me help you with this. With this prerequisite for those of you that are dating. This really takes divorce out of the way. Marry the right person in the first place. Like if you took somebody home and your grandmother went like this today. You know, you brought them home for Christmas. Honey, I love you. You need to get rid of that. That is the Lord prophesying to your grandmother. If your dad went, I tell you what now, don't bring that by me again. So, and then you pray and the Holy Spirit goes, leave. That's kind of like that movie Amityville Horror. How many of y'all remember Amityville Horror 1? Not 24, 1. If you remember Amityville Horror 1, you're old. But y'all remember, it's like 2 minutes into the movie. They move into this new old house. The fireplace opens up, and it goes, get out. Now listen, if I'd have been starring in a movie, it'd been the shortest movie ever. Elizabeth and I had walked into the house, fireplace opens up, and we hear, get out. I'm like, I'm gone. You'd be seeing the movie credits. There's sometimes you need to engage and do what God says you do. Three types of people. I'm going to get to Scripture. You there at 2 Tim? Observers, engagers, encouragers. We got the Rabbi Britt and his lovely wife with us today. Jim Britt, thank you for being number three. I don't know if you started out as an encourager, but you've grown into one. Amen? And here's what encouragers do. Your life makes somebody else better that gets near you. Jim Britt's been an encourager to me. He's helped me. Watch this. It's not always been pleasant. Sometimes he says, now this is why you don't need to do that. And he explains it to me. And I go, Pastor Britt, you're right. You know why I listen to him? He knows Noah. Billy, he was friends with some of the people that I've studied, that I read about and I was amazed about. Jim had lunch with them. That is real. I mean,
He really doesn't know Noah, just in case any of y'all are going to blog that. He and Doris were not married on the ark. It was the Mayflower, okay? But no, they've been around. They've lived history. They've engaged life. They've made a difference. They encourage others. So here's the goal. Guess what? That we would mature in Christ in such a way that when people get around us, we encourage each other's faith. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. You need to get to number three. How many of y'all been married long enough now that you encourage each other more than you hinder each other? Get that hand up a little higher, honey. That's not a hand. First grade hand up. Yeah, watch this. I love my wife because one reason, guess what? I'm better because I married her. I'm better because I married her. Well, let's see. Are you better because you married me? She said yes. But we just had anniversary, so that's why she said yes. I'm going to test her again in July. Let's see what she says then, all right? No, but yeah, we are. Listen, that's relationship. It's the same relationship with Christ. Now, let me show you something else. Quit looking for something else. Quit looking for something else. If you don't mind, just look at your neighbor and go, you've got it. Come on, you've got it. I'm going to ask our screen folks to put up Galatians 5:22 on the front screens. Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. Computer guys, Galatians 5:22, front screen. Thank you. Isn't that amazing how we can do that today? Listen, you don't have to bring your Bibles. We can go, Bible says. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand something, okay? You're either going to be an observer, you're either going to be an engager, or you're going to be an encourager. Coach, you've got all three of those guys on your team, don't you? Coach, you've got all three of those guys, don't you? Think about it. Observers, you get some observers, don't you? They want to eat steaks and ride the bus. That's the extent of their play. I got some people like here at church like that. They just want, and they always know how to coach. How many people you got helping you coach? Thousands. Every father knows more about the game than you. Have you noticed that? Every father that has a son who never played football, they know what the coach ought to do. Y'all ought to be a preacher for a week. It's wonderful. Did you know everybody knows how to be a preacher even though they've never done it? Kind of like being a president. Everybody knows how to be what? Being president of the United States would scare me to death. Can you imagine the pressure? Because I hear people haul off all the time. Sometimes I don't say everything I think. I say most of what I think, but I don't say everything. But you know, y'all ever heard these people? My gosh, what we all do is just run over and blow that country up. You know why people talk like that? Because they don't have to make that decision. It's a scary decision when you have to call people's children into death. And you have to live out the rest of the life, your life, knowing you made that call. Knowing that some, you know, moms and dads are going to be out with their sons and daughters because of the call you had to make. It's not as simple as it sounds, is it? But it's simple when you don't have to bear the consequences. It's simple when it doesn't mess with you. But here's what I'm telling you. God has placed some great consequences in you. Anybody in this room that says, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, come into me. I want you to see what you're packing. Love, joy, and peace. How many of y'all glad to know love, joy, and peace is in you? So if watch this. If this won't work for a believer, well, I just can't find any peace. You can't say that. You can say, I'm unwilling to release the peace that God's given me. Well, we don't like that, though, do we? I'm unwilling to release the peace that God's given me. Because I want to help you out with something. You can't believe being an observer. Because observers just observe. Believers engage. So watch this. I'm going to engage the love. I'm going to engage the joy. I'm going to engage the peace. Forbearance is a great word for this wonderful word. Patience. How many of y'all need to realize you got patience? You got patience. Man, I rejoice. Listen, this year, I'm just going to tell you my 2013 year. My 2013 year has been changed because I have had more patience than normal. Now, I'm not saying on a scale of 1 to 10 it's at an 8 or 9, but I'm telling you it's more than it used to be. Because guess what I realized? Guess what I used to say? I used to say, I'm not a patient person. Y'all ever do that? I'm not, and then I had to realize, wait a minute, I'm lying. Well, I'm telling the truth. I'm not a patient person, but Jesus has placed patience in me.
So I need to rely on what's been given to me instead of what I feel or what I think or what I observe. Look what else. Kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Gentleness and self-control. How many of y'all think those might be good things? Guess where they reside? If you don't mind, if you'll do this, it's Participation Sunday. They're in you. Pass that down, will you? They're in you. They're in you. Come on, balcony, they're up there too. Tell them they're in you. Come on. They're in who? No, they really are in us who follow Jesus Christ. So let me tell you what Paul said. Here's what we need to be doing. I'm going to call you to an altar to renew what is already in you. So I'd come today and pray. Say, God, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I be more loving. May I be more joyful. May I be more peaceful. Lord, may I learn the patience of life. Let it open up. God, I need to quit telling you what you need to do and just need to start following what you do. Relaxes you. It's hard to be anxious when you're following. Anxiety comes when you have to be in control. How many of y'all had a little bit better Christmas? How many of y'all ladies chilled out a little bit? If the food was burnt, just call it barbecue. Hallelujah. Figure these things out. Look at here. How many of y'all gave up on a perfect Christmas and just had Christmas? That's what I'm talking about. Just have Christmas. It doesn't need to look like Hallmark. Who said that was a cool Christmas anyway? Hallmark. Let me tell you what God says, live. Let me tell you what Paul said. May this be your life. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. If you're going to pour, you got to engage. If you're going to pour, you got to encourage. You can't pour by observing. Got to pour it what? Pour it out. Now, Paul didn't say, I'm thinking about pouring, did he? He didn't say, I'm considering a pour. He's saying, listen, since Jesus has changed me, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. And my time of departure has come. I want to tell you what, live in such a way that at your last breath, you're done. Live in such a way that at your last breath, you're what? Done. I'm going to tell you what, I ain't hobbling into the grave. I'm coming in full bore. When my last breath's over, I'm done. I've given everything I can give. I'm glad my family's sitting on the front row because I'm telling you, I'm bouncing my last check. I've spent all I can spend. I've given all I can give. I've loved all I can love. I've enjoyed this place all I can enjoy this place. It rung out. And then guess what? When you're rung out, I got to thinking about this. When you're really rung out here with the Lord, your last breath here isn't so much different as your first breath in heaven. Death isn't a big deal if you've lived with Christ all your life. Paul said, this ain't a big deal. He said, I'm being poured out. And the time of my departure has come. How many of y'all realize this? Everybody's got a time to depart. Any of y'all ever been to the Nashville airport? I mean, that's the closest one we got that has these. As you pull into the Nashville airport, there's two signs. As you come in toward the terminal, there's two signs at the terminal. What's one sign say? Departures. And the other sign says what? Welcome to life every day. Every day at Hillview Heights Church, it's every day almost. At least every week. We have departures and we have what? Arrivals. Every week our pastors are at the funeral home and they're up there on the baby birthing floor. We got them coming in and we got them what? And in the meantime, we need to be filled with love and joy and peace. And we need to be pouring out the things. And we need to engage in life. So parents, in the name of Jesus, parent. Children, in the name of Jesus, be children. Now be children. You can be adults later. It's not that big a deal. In fact, you're not going to like it. Adults! It's going to blow some of y'all away. Be adults! When you're 40, don't act like you're 14.
And heaven forbid, don't dress like it.
Be adults. That's that season of life. Let God bring His love and His joy and His peace and His patience and His kindness. Engage, encourage. Be where you are. Amen? Be where you are. Every year you get to be where you are in Christ. Let me finish up. He said, man, I love the way he ends. Now I'm going to tell you, if you're going to stay with Jesus, there are going to be a lot of people that don't like it. Please don't freak out about that. They've never liked Jesus. Have you read the story? They killed him the first time he's here. They didn't kill him because they wanted to kill him. They killed him because they didn't like him. The Duck Dynasty guy, Phil Roberts. You know why he's ticked everybody off? You know why he's really ticked everybody off? Because he lives what he says. And there's so few people that live what they say, it ticks them off. Now, used to, some of you that are a little bit older, y'all were used to people, watch this. There was a time in our nation that you could do business with a handshake. Hazel, you remember that, don't you? Shake a man's hand, what was it? That's a deal. You didn't need a pencil. You didn't need a contract. You didn't need a lawyer. You didn't need Congress to approve it or disapprove it. Because back then, a man's word meant something. I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock meant what? I'll be there at a quarter till. Today, it means I'll be there next week. Yeah. Our nation was built on those principles. Today, we're trying to build a nation with a bunch of observers. We got more rights groups than we need. I tell you what you have a right to do. Die. It's a guarantee. God has opened up the privilege of grace. You can receive it or not. But there comes a time you're going to have to do more than observe. You will have to engage. I've never met a successful person that didn't work. So, well, Pastor Harris, hadn't you ever met somebody that just inherited a bunch of money? I said, yeah, I've never met a successful person that didn't work. Having money doesn't mean you're successful. Drug dealers have money for a moment. And then they have a life of doing time. Or they're dead. Because you know why? Observation doesn't work. Engagement and encouragement does. And Paul leaves like this. He says, I fought a good fight. May this be said about our lives as we come into a new year. Henceforth, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Do those three things, church. Fight a good fight. People resist back. I'm going to stay with Jesus. Amen. How many of y'all going to stay with Jesus? We'll see. I'm just going to tell you. I'm living in a moment of time. We'll see. I told a group of pastors the other day, I said, well, gentlemen, at least we won't have to worry about any more building programs in the church for the rest of our career. They said, why not, Ayers? I said, we're fixing to separate the observers from the believers. There's always three types of people who go to church. Always three types of people go to church. You got your believers. You got your make believers. And you got those who are yet to believe. Make believers never make a difference. Young people, don't ever get that. The 1980s, they lied. It's that polyester they wore in the 70s, caused brain damage in the 80s. In business, some of y'all remember this. Fake it till you make it. How about work it till it happens? Stay engaged until God comes through. Fight the good fight. Keep the faith. Watch this. It's going to blow you away. It works. It works. Some of y'all looking good this year. Because last year you said, man, I'm going to get all this weight off. And guess what you did? You fought a good fight. When them Snicker bars came by you, you said, in the name of Jesus, run!
Unlike the pastor who said, Holy of Holies, now I break this Snicker bar in remembrance of him. In the morning when it was cold and it was nasty and it was raining and it was drizzly, Doc, you got up and did what? Run. Mark Hale ran all the way from his house to the church. He got here and he said, I've run all the way house from my house to the church. I said, why? Is your car broke? He said, no, I thought it'd be good exercise. I said, Mark, I get up every morning and thank God for this truck. I said, Lord, thank you for giving me this Ford truck in the name of Jesus so I don't have to walk or run. But Mark stuck to it. He's a lot less pastor than he was a year ago. Because you know why? He fought a good fight. He kept the faith when it got tough. And he finished the race. How many of you college, university students, you got through this semester? How many of y'all got through this semester? Listen, if some of y'all are struggling with the university, here's the way my father got me through. Every semester I said, well, Dad, I'm going to quit. And he said, I tell you what I'd do. I'd go one more semester and quit the next semester. I said, sound like a good idea. One May I walked in, he said, they'll let you graduate now. You've got enough semesters. Because if I looked at the whole thing, I couldn't see myself finishing the race. If I fought the battle that was in this day, eventually you'll finish the race. So here's all I'm asking you to do, church. Let's not observe. Let's engage. Let's encourage. Let's let the love of God come through us. Let's love one another as Jesus Christ has loved us. And let's fight the good fight. Let's run the race. And most of all, for every one of you in the name of Jesus, finish. Just finish. You say, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand what I've been through. Oh, I wish you would hear what we sung this morning. Harvey, I love that line in this song. Where there is sin, grace is more. Y'all ever play cards? We play cards over the holidays. How many of y'all ever played cards? You ever play cards? How many of y'all have ever played spades? Anybody know how to play spades? Good. Y'all come over and take me Elizabeth on, we'll beat you. Here's the thing. Spades. I love playing spades. I love playing spades. How many of y'all have ever had the ace of spades in your hand? Sheriff, you ever played spades? You ain't good? All right. You ever gotten an ace, though? The ace of spades trumps everything. Y'all aware of that, aren't you? How many of y'all felt good about the king of spades? What I love is when somebody counts the king of spades. They count that as one of their, you know, catches, one of their tricks. And you let that king of spades come out, there's nothing that feels better. That king of spades, he thinks it's won. That king of spades that forgot where the ace was, and all of a sudden you lay that big old ace down. Daddy's home. Boom. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. He finished. He kept and he engaged. He engaged to the point of death. He engaged to the point of resurrection. And here's what I love about Jesus Christ. He's not finished. He's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. You are part of his work. Amen. So guess what he wants to do? Save you. What's wrong with that? The devil's got some of you convinced, oh, you've done so much wrong. That's the king of spades. That's all the devil is, king of spades. He looked like he got some power. He thinks he's a king. One day, it says it in the Bible. It says, one day, Jesus is going to crush his nasty head and all those that have been with him. So what blings now won't bling later. So you better choose your bling. Some of y'all in heaven, y'all going to be laying on the street for the first 1,000 years. You're going to be impressed with heaven's blacktop. It's gold. Let me tell you how precious heaven is. God paves his streets. You know what gold's like to God? Asphalt. Used to a long time ago when we had like a stable economy. The piece of paper that's in your pocket, those little dollar bills, those little cloth cotton dollar bills, were actually backed by gold. And then we've decided to back them by theoretical economic disposition. It's another word for that, but I won't use it in this setting. What we backed our economy with, God paves his streets with.
There'll be some people in heaven, they'd just be loving the street. They say, God, can I sleep out here? He's going, you fool. That's fool's gold. I didn't make you for the street. I made you for my kingdom. We walk on what you consider precious. Pretty wild, isn't it, Don? In heaven, we walk on what makes the world click. Think about that. It says the streets of gold.
Well, Pastor Ayers, you think that's metaphorical or reality?
I think it's 14 karat, boys, right there it is. 10 karat on the side roads. Gold plated on the country roads. But it still won't turn green. Let Jesus Christ come into your life today. Amen. So quit being an observer. Start being an engager. Finish. Better yet. Here's the good news today. How many of y'all glad to know God's not finished with you? Where there is sin, grace is more. Grace trumps sin. Ace. So don't let Satan con you. He doesn't have your life. He didn't make your life. He can't create your life. Guess what? Jesus made you. He loves you. He'll redeem you, and he'll finish with you. Amen. Well, let's stand together. How many of y'all need to finish with Jesus? Anybody here need to finish with Jesus? Let me help you. If you don't finish with him, you're in a hell of a mess. Literally. So guess what? I'm not going to ask you to come up here and think of 5,000 resolutions. Like right now, if I said, you know what, I'm going to quit eating Snickers and ice cream. No, I'm not. Here's when I'll probably quit eating Snickers and ice cream, after about 2 stints. And then I'll sneak it. Here's what we need to ask God, renew me in such a way that I'll fight the good fight. I'll pour myself out, and I'll finish well. Amen? If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to receive Jesus today. Don't blow us off. Don't say, well, that's the last thing. I'm going to do it next year. I guarantee you somebody won't be here next Sunday permanently. Might be me. I don't say that to freak you out. I mean, I tell people, hey, if I see you next week, I mean that. Y'all seen me drive? Somebody asked me one day, they said, Ayers, you talk casually about death. I said, I'm saved. I said, what are you so scared of? I said, this is either real or it's not real. I said, what I can't understand is people who say they believe Jesus that get so freaked out about death. You're either going to heaven or you're not going to heaven. And if you're going to heaven, hallelujah. Now, if you're going to hell, yeah, I'm miserable. I've had to preach those funerals where I had nothing to say about the person and everything to say about it, Jesus, so it wouldn't happen to somebody else. Today, please don't leave this earth without Jesus. Why don't you ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sin. Do you realize that God brought some people here today just to hear that? Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my what? Sin. You know, Pastor, I don't do anything that everybody else does. I agree with you. We're all sinners. You say, well, I believe I was born this way. I do too. We're all born into sin. And I believe this too. There's not a sin that God can't forgive. How many of y'all still believe that? There's not a sin God can't change. There's not a person that can't be saved. But you got to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. He's Savior. Some of you need to be baptized. Now listen, let's get real with that.
Well, I believe that God exists.
Well, whoop-a-dee-doo. Aren't you brilliant? So's the devil. So the demons. It says they shudder. It's not about believing that there's a power higher than us. It's about knowing that there's a God that wants to save you. If you have been forgiven and Jesus come into your life, there's a next step. Be baptized. Be obedient.
Well, Pastor Steve, I'm scared of the water.
Really?
He went to a cross and you're scared of water.
I've heard that 100,000 times in ministry. And as soon as people who were scared of the water stepped in that holy water up there, they'd been blessed by Jesus, there was no fear in their life because they'd been saved. It was so funny. They come out the water. They said, I thought I was scared of water. I said, you're not going to be scared of a lot of things you thought you were scared of. This is real, my friends. Come, if you haven't made those decisions, let's start the new year off all right. I mean, y'all ready to engage, encourage, pour out, make things happen? Anybody ready to do those things? All right. Come to the altar. Pray for renewal. Pray for release. Pray for truth. I just want to tell y'all, I love being y'all's pastor. Thank y'all for being a cool church. Thank y'all for not making me wear a tie all the time. Thank you that you don't make me drive a black Impala Chevrolet because I don't like them. And thank you for letting me be me. And thank you for being graceful when I mess up because I'm fully capable of that. And I don't know how I'm going to mess up this year. I do pray this every day. Lord, please don't let me mess up in such a way that I kill everything you want to do with me. I've learned this. I've learned to learn from mess ups. How many of y'all have learned from mess ups? I'm not as stupid as I used to be, but I still got a long way to go. How many of y'all could quote that same phrase? So let's really do what Keith asked the Lord to do. Keith, that we get rid of our pride and our arrogance and just say, God, here I am. I want to pour you out in 2:14 like I've never poured. I want the world to look at Hillview and see this. Them people are crazy. They'll love the hell out of you in that church. I hope people say that. They love the hell out of you because that's what Jesus does to us. Some of y'all going, are you cussing? No, you'll know when I cuss. I'm good at it. It's loving. It's being forgiven. It's coming to this altar and saying, Jesus, be real in me. I'll tell you what God's tired of. He's done with religion. And man, he's done with this counterfeit stuff we've created in America. I'm so tired of walking in churches and nobody's changed. I'm so tired of observers. We need some folks engaged passionately in following Jesus. Not perfect, just faithful. Faithful. I don't know any perfect people. Never preached a perfect person's funeral. And the only perfect person we have didn't have a funeral. They got rid of him real quick. He came back 3 days later. But I know this. I know a lot of imperfect folks who I love dearly, who've been forgiven by the grace and mercy of God, that have lived extraordinary lives that they would have never lived without Jesus. So may Christ pour himself in you and through you in this new year. Lord, it's your altar. Draw the people to grace. Draw them to baptism. Draw them to renewal. Draw us to rethink. Draw us to reconsider. Draw us to engage you, God. But most of all, may we stand up. May we fight the good fight. And Lord, I don't know how many years we got. None of my business. But Lord, you do. So I pray that we all finish well in this room. Amen. Y'all don't mind, this altar's open. Let's come and pray. That changes everything. If you're not a believer, come and be a believer. If you haven't been baptized, let's come and get that baptism taken care of. Let God speak into your life. In the name of Jesus, this place is open, and God is ready to be a part of your life.